Happy Father's Day. But I also want to say Happy Mother's Day. Without us, they would not be them. So my husband used to say every Mother's Day, all the fathers should be happy too. So we say happy day to all of you. We are very thankful when Pastor Wallace mentioned about the Webbs and the Toppers coming in. They were on evacuation flights from their countries back to Zion. And one thing my husband always said, I will always make sure, no matter where our missionaries are, they can get back home if they need to. And we're so thankful for that provision of the Lord, that they were able to come back and that they're able to be with us. And one thing I wanted to say to you, Zion Church, you have a very faithful shepherd through Pastor Wallace. How do you hear his voice now? Through a cell phone. But they are prayers. They are prayers, and they pray for you. And we're very thankful to God for their position here, and that they can be a good shepherd and shepherdess to you. So it's a real joy. Of course, I have to say my favorite guy in the whole world is, now I stand behind him.
So good to see you all again. I know everybody's not here, but it's so wonderful to have this time together and see so many that we haven't seen for so long. Thank the Lord. Well, it's quite an interesting time in the world right now, isn't it? And it makes us wonder what's happening, doesn't it? It makes us wonder what is happening. And I'm sure that God is in control of this whole matter. And I believe we want to look to Him and love Him more than ever and walk in His ways more than ever, because He has wonderful things ahead. I believe revival is right ahead of us in the United States. There may be some other events in between, but I believe that revival is coming, and God wants His people to be ready, and we want to prepare our hearts before the Lord. I realize people in the United States don't look like they're ready for revival, do they? It's kind of a rough time right now. But I believe that that's God's goal, that is God's end, and we look forward to that. And then, of course, there's a lot of events before the return of the Lord Jesus, and maybe we are and maybe we're not looking toward those. We'll see, but God wants us to have our eyes upon Him. He is in control. That gives me hope, doesn't it, you? Praise God. Well, I want to start with the verse that has already been quoted this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, now most of us don't have that many teachers in our lives, but even if we did, if we had 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. And we thank God for teachers. Teachers are very, very important. But there's no teacher that can compare to a father. There's no teacher that can compare to our Heavenly Father, first of all. He's so wonderful. And He is an excellent father. The best anyone could have is our Heavenly Father. And it's amazing that He took that identity, that is His identity. He is our Heavenly Father. And I thank God for Him. And those who teach us are very important. We've had many teachers through the years, most of us. And our teachers are very important. But becoming mature fathers and mothers that know their Heavenly Father is God's goal for His people. And God wants us to understand that. It's not just to bear children, but it's have the heart of a father or a mother. It's so very important. There's something special in that, that nothing else can satisfy. And God wants us to realize the privilege we have in becoming a spiritual father or mother. Some time ago, my wife and I were traveling in another country. And when we had finished our ministry there, we were being escorted back to the airport by a young man who was appointed to be our driver. And as we had conversation along the way on the trip, the young man said to us, to my wife and I, "You two are like a father and mother to us that we need so much. We are not accustomed to seeing this kind of leadership." Now, normally, we don't think of a father and mother as leadership, but God wants us to become like spiritual fathers and mothers as leaders that love and care for His people. And this young man was expressing this. He didn't know that kind of care that God wants to be normal for leaders. And he expressed that, and I've never forgotten that. That's had a lasting impact on my own life. And I believe that God wants every one of us to have a heart that people can recognize us as a spiritual father or mother, and that they'll feel love and care. I mean, we were only a couple hours with that man and his wife, and yet he felt the heart of a father and a mother. And God wants to do that in every one of our lives here, that we are able, because of our relationship with our Heavenly Father, to be a father and mother to other people that maybe have not experienced a good father and mother on earth. God wants us to fill that void in their life. God wants all of us to become men who know our Heavenly Father and take on His character and nature and become faithful and loving fathers like He is. A look at the heart of God, and we can all gain the insight of the care of a father that God wants us to be. What a wonderful privilege. It's not just having children that makes you a father. It's what's in our heart. It's how we relate to others, the way we care for them, the way we show them the heart of their Heavenly Father. And I want to put that before all of us today. Now, one thing about fathers is that they give inheritances to their children. And that's a wonderful privilege, to give an inheritance to our children. I think my children are still waiting to find out what it's going to be. But our Heavenly Father's inheritance for us is very precious. And the Lord has chosen His people as His inheritance for Himself. We are an inheritance for God. We're an inheritance for Him. He's looking forward to us being with Him in eternity and fulfilling the purposes that He's ordained for all of eternity. What a wonderful privilege that we have to be part of God's inheritance. Praise God. God created us for His pleasure. He declares here that the people that love Him and will do His will are those that will be an inheritance to Him forever and ever. What a wonderful thing to look forward to. I want to be an inheritance to Him. I want to be someone that He's looking forward to receiving in heaven because I love Him, because He's my Father. We are very precious to the Lord. His eye is upon us, and He wants us to love Him and do all of His will. That is His inheritance forever and ever. God's inheritance is us that love Him. What a precious privilege we have. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, we see that our Heavenly Father has an inheritance in us, but we have an inheritance in Him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. What do you have that is not corruptible? What do you have that's not corruptible? My wife and I bought a car before we came here, and it's sitting in the garage, and it has some rust on it. We paid a lot of money for it, and it's a corruptible car. But God has an inheritance that is incorruptible in us and undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. Our Heavenly Father also has an inheritance in each one of His people. The inheritance that He has reserved for us in heaven, when we are with Him forever and ever. Heaven's not just a place to behold beauty that God has created. He has an eternal purpose for us in heaven. And God wants every one of us to understand that. We're not just going to go in heaven and float around on a cloud maybe sometimes, or whatever picture we have in our mind of what heaven's going to be like. It's going to be wonderful. Our Father has some amazing things planned for us. And our purpose mainly is to be with Him and delight in Him and to be a part of what He has ordained for us to do for all of eternity. See, we're not going to just be in heaven floating on a cloud. We're going to be busy doing the Father's will for all of eternity. And I look forward to that, don't you? I bet He has some amazing plans that we can't even imagine. We will not just be floating on clouds, but God has a specific plan for each one of our lives in heaven. He wants us to be productive and part of His eternal purposes. Those that have let God prepare them during their time on earth will have a part in His heavenly plan for all of eternity. It'll be forever and ever and ever. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? I'm looking forward to that very much. In Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. As fathers on earth, God wants each one of us to prepare an inheritance for our family. What kind of inheritance does God want us to prepare for our children? Is it just houses and lands? You know, I remember my mother singing an old song, "I've Got a Mansion Just Over the Hilltop." And she'd go around talking to us kids about what our house was going to be like in heaven. Well, as I've gotten older, I've come to realize that a house in heaven isn't the most important thing. It's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that we're going to be with Jesus and with our Heavenly Father. God wants us to seek Him and hear from Him what is best for each of our children. We want to know for our children what is best for them. And what a privilege it is when we see our children doing what we know God called them to do and to be. We must know our children well and hear from God as to what direction we should give them and what inheritance we should prepare for them. In Genesis 18 and verse 19, God said concerning Abraham, a man that he loved very much, He says, "I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." What a wonderful thing God says about Abraham. God says, "I know him. I know he will command his children in his household. He'll lead them in the right way. He'll guide them so that they enter into those things that God has purposed for them." The Lord knew Abraham's heart, and he knew that Abraham would command his children, as he did, and his household to keep God's ways. And God intends for a good father to give specific direction in training his children so that they can enter into the purpose that God has ordained for them. Some fathers give very little attention to their children. I've seen that and seen just such grief. But the Lord wants us as godly fathers to be very specific in directing our children and commanding them in God's ways. And I want to encourage every father here, be a true loving father. Have a direction from God for your children. Ask God, He'll give you a direction. He'll show you what they're to be. And He will help you to guide your children in that way. When our children were growing up in our home, we tried to take time with them together, with them each evening. And sometimes we would read books together about missionaries and about other godly people. We would discuss these things and show them how this should impact their own lives. And we tried to lay before them a purpose that God had appointed to them. Both of our children are now fulfilling God's call for their lives. And I tell you, that is what makes Father's Day the most wonderful thing, to see them fulfilling God's call in their lives. Our son is a pastor, and our daughter's a missionary, along with her husband. I should mention the husbands. The investment that we made into their lives has been well worthwhile. We took time with our children. I announced to our church when we were there that I was not going to be available 24 hours a day, that I had to spend time with my family in order to qualify to be their pastor. And they, when I announced that, they stood up and they clapped. They wanted that. They wanted that. And our children are now reaping the benefits of doing things God's way, and we thank God. Now, what kind of an inheritance are we to have? Well, a father can only give what he has for an inheritance to his children. You've got to have something worthwhile to pass on to your children as a father should give an inheritance to his children. And what is it that's so important? Well, today we are seeing the disappearing dad. We're seeing disappearing dads. Dads that don't take care of their children. Time magazine featured a cover story a number of years ago on fatherhood. And in that story, it documented the changing shape of what we call family life. And most of us have grown up with this to some extent or another. Most of us have never seen the way things used to be years ago in our nation. It reported that fathers used to occupy the greater place in the home, and that well into the 18th century, child-rearing manuals in America were generally addressed to fathers and not mothers. Now, we think that would be strange now, don't we? But as the industrialization began to separate home and work, fathers could not be in both places at once. But as the industrialization became to separate home and work, fathers could not be in both places, but family life in the 19th century was defined by what historians call the feminization of the domestic sphere and the marginalization of the father as a parent. Now, that may be what the world's saying, but that's not what God is saying. God wants us men to be fathers as He created fathers. Amen? God wants us men to be fathers as He created fathers to be. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. We got a little bit of response. The article makes some other sobering points. Rising divorce rates and out-of-wedlock births mean that more than 40% of all children born between 1970 and 1984. Now, that's a number of years ago now. But in that 14-year period, are likely to spend much of their childhood living in single-parent homes. What a terrible situation that is. And the impact of these fatherless homes on the children is significant, if not devastating. Time goes on to say, studies of young criminals have found out that more than 70% of all juveniles in state reform institutions came from fatherless homes, 70% of them. Children from broken families are nearly twice as likely as those in two-parent homes to drop out of high school. That's unbelievable. But we see it happening around us, don't we? Now, do you spend time with your children? Do you spend time with your children? Having fun with them, for one thing, not just telling them the rules, but having fun with them. You know, one of the rules in having fun is dad gets to win. No, that's not always the way it is it? God doesn't want our family life to be a dull scene. Are you so involved with other interests that you do not really have time to spend investing in your family? You will have your children in your home for a very short time. How many parents realize you have your children for a very short time? Isn't it true? Before you know it, they're grown up, they're gone, and they're having their own family. It's an amazing thing. And yet when we're young and we're having our children, we think, oh, I'm going to have them for a long time. Goes very, very quickly. You will have your children in your home for a very short time. It's so important that you arrange your schedule so that you have daily times investing in their lives. Part of your own spiritual life that God wants us to impart to them is our spiritual life, what we gain spiritually. God wants an inheritance to go to them of our spiritual life. What we did obeying God and doing His will, that's an inheritance that goes to our children. I don't have a house to give to either of my children. When we moved here, we sold it. And we live here in the parlor, as it's been for the last 90-some days. We don't have a home. I don't have earthly things to give them. Oh, one of them can have our rusty car if they want, but I don't have anything to leave to them. But there's a very strong spiritual heritage in my background, and I thank God for it. My great-grandmother was 101 and 11 months when she went to be with the Lord, but she had an impact on my life. She was a very godly woman, and I thank God for grandparents that were godly. I thank God for parents, although they had some glitches, they were godly parents. They trained us in the ways of the Lord, and I thank God for that. That's a wonderful inheritance that you can't buy anywhere else. Thank God for all His goodness. There's a story that I want to share with you this morning. In 1989, there was an earthquake in Armenia that flattened the nation. This deadly tremor killed over 30,000 people in less than 4 minutes. In the midst of all the confusion of the earthquake, a father rushed to his son's school. When he arrived there, he discovered the building was flat as a pancake. Standing there, looking at what was left of the school, the father remembered a promise he had made to his son. He said, "No matter what happens to you," he says, "I will always be there for you, no matter what happens." And the father went to where the school he was in, that his son was in, collapsed, and it was flat to the ground. And his child was buried in that, and he knew that. But he said, he made a promise. He said, "I will always be there for you." And so that father, as tears began to fill his eyes, he looked like the situation was hopeless. And he could not take his mind off his promise, though. So he remembered that his son's classroom was at the right back corner of the building. And the father rushed there, and he started digging through the rubble. As he was digging, other grieving parents arrived, and they started clutching their hearts, saying, "My son, my daughter." They tried to pull him off of what was left of the school, saying, "It's too late. They are all dead. You can't help. Go home." Even the police officer and a firefighter told him that he should go home. To everyone who had tried to stop him, he said, "Are you going to help me now? Are you going to help me now?" And they did not answer him. And he continued digging through that rubble for his son, stone by stone. He needed to know for himself if his son was alive. He had promised he'd be there for his son. And he needed to find out if his son was alive or not. This man dug for 8 hours straight, and then 12 hours, and then 24, and then 36, and finally, in the 38th hour of digging, as he pulled back a boulder, he heard his son's voice. He screamed his son's name, "Armand." And a voice answered him, "Dad? It's me, Dad." Then the boy added these priceless words, "I told the other kids not to worry. I told them that if you were alive, you'd save me. And when you save me, they'd be saved also. You promised that, Dad. No matter what you said, I'll always be there for you. And here you are, Dad. You kept your promises." And I think that story is fantastic. God wants us as parents to keep our promises to our children and do what God's best is for our children. Children want to make their fathers proud. And an involved father promotes inner growth and strength. Studies have shown that fathers, when they are affectionate and supportive, it greatly affects a child's cognitive and social development. It instills an overall sense of well-being and self-confidence. Fathers not only influence who we are inside, but how we have relationships with people as we grow up. The way a father treats his child will influence what he or she looks for in other people. Friends will all be chosen based on how the child perceived the meaning of the relationship with his or her father. Very, very strong influence when a father invests in his children. The patterns a father sets in relationships with his children will dictate how his children relate with other people. If a father is loving and gentle, his daughter will look for those qualities in men when she's old enough to begin courting. If a father is strong and valiant, she will relate closely to men of the same character. Sons model themselves after their father's character. Boys seek approval from their fathers from a very young age. We grow up imitating the behavior of those around us. That's how we learn to function in the world. Men, our children are worth the investment. It's going to impact their whole life if we spend time with them when they're young. And if we spend time with them when we're young, too. If a father is caring and treats people with respect, the young boy will grow up much the same. When a father is absent, young boys look to other male figures to set the rules for how to behave and to survive in the world. And, you know, these last few weeks, I've been looking at the things going on in the United States. In big city after big city, the rebellion that's been going on. And where did it come from? It came from generation after generation of fathers that did not invest well in their children. And God wants us to take a check today in our own fatherhood. Are we being faithful? Are we giving our children the very best, showing them God's way, showing them the way of true life? Oh, it's so very important. A father must meet with the Lord daily for himself and his family, dealing with iniquities. Oh, yes, we all have them. And we need to deal with them. It's worth the investment of time to deal with our iniquities, so that's not the inheritance we leave with our children. That we develop godly character and press on in the battle to overcome. I want God's ways. I love my Heavenly Father. He's a good Father. There's no better than Him, and I want to be as much like Him as I can possibly be. But we want to invest our life in our children, our grandchildren. If we live long enough, our great-grandchildren, that we can give them an inheritance that is eternal. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together, shall we, Father? We thank you for your love for us. We're thankful that you are the best father anyone could ever have. And Lord, we follow your lead. We pray that you will reveal yourself to each one of us as we seek you. And may we be examples to our family that we can lead them with an inheritance that's going to last in eternal life. We thank you. Bless every father here today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Maybe if the fathers could just stand up and we just pray again that God's hand, God's blessing will be upon each one. Each father stand? Yeah. Praise God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for all your goodness. We thank you for your grace. Father, we just thank you for the message we've just heard this morning. And Lord, we pray, oh God, Lord, that in a fresh way, Lord, you would help, Lord, each father, each one that's standing at this time, Lord, that your grace would be upon them, that your spirit would be upon them, that your enabling would be upon them, Lord, to be the father that you've called them to be. Oh, God, we pray especially, Lord, with those fathers, with younger children, Lord. Oh, God, you give them grace, Lord. Give them wisdom from above. Lord, may there be an investment into their lives. And, oh, God, Lord Jesus, that indeed your purposes will be carried out. Father, we pray for each father, even the older ones, Lord. Lord, even through prayer and seeking your face. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. Lord, let there be an influence, a godly influence for you and for your glory, Lord, on our children, on our sons and daughters, and Lord, to leave an inheritance, Lord, not just in earthly things, but, oh God, an inheritance of the spirit, of the character and the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, may your grace and your richest blessing be upon each father this morning, in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.